Enjoy the music tonight, didn't you? Turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Look with me in verse. I tell you what, let's back up to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. We'll kind of work our way into this passage of Scripture. Before we preach tonight, I do want to tell you that we got our final occupancy permit yesterday. I would do a cartwheel, but I'm too full of supper. But that is a great victory. I will announce it Sunday as well. And ever having issues with the contractor and all the things that happened next door with the activity center, and to be on a temporary occupancy permit for so long. And so for 2 years, it's a great victory to have that occupancy permit, permanent occupancy permit. And so what a blessing. And I know many of you, a few months ago, we took up an offering to help with the completion of some of the things that need to be done over there in order to get that occupancy permit. And so it's done. So amen. Appreciate you praying and giving, and all those of you who if you give, and I pray all of you do, to the church, give to the Lord every week. You've had a part in all the buildings, but many of you have given over and above and sacrificed, and so we appreciate that. And it's a great building; it's a wonderful building to be able to use, and it's been a great tool to reach people and to be a blessing to our church family, as well as the Christian Academy. So it was good to see that, and we also really have a good handle now on our. If you know, we've had some issues with leaks, water leaks, and so we've got all that figured out as well, Lord willing. And so the appropriate valve has been put in to keep that from happening, Lord willing, again. I keep saying Lord willing. But so some of you are more aware of what has been going on with that than others. But just rest assured that this time we had a real plumber come out, and actually a Norris student who is a certified plumber. Licensed plumber, and came out, and he really helped us and help us to know what to do. So we had the city also come out yesterday and look over our water lines and do some other things and some tests, and everything came back good. And so we're also, I know my face doesn't show it, but I'm very excited about that also, honestly. So just a few things around here. So a blessing here at the end of the year to try to just kind of tie up some loose ends. And look forward to a finance team meeting tonight, too. Just a short one. So, men, don't forget. And we'll look forward to that. Galatians. The book of Galatians. Remember now, the book of Galatians was written to the churches there in Galatia, to that province. And this book was written by Paul to offset or to counteract those Jews who were seeking or thinking or going back into Judaism. And adding Judaistic law to the gospel and to grace. And so he is just reminding them that the gospel is very clear, that putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, his life, death, and resurrection, is the only means of salvation, that the law does not get you to heaven, that the law is only the schoolmaster that brings us to Christ. It teaches us the need we have for a Savior. It's the law that teaches us that we are sinners. And so Paul is making that point over and over and over again in this particular book. And so in verse 26 of chapter 3, he says this. He says, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." We are children of God by placing our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, his life, his death, and his resurrection. "For as many of you as have been baptized into Jesus Christ have put on Christ." And those of you who have accepted Christ as Savior, those of you who are in Christ Jesus, have put on Jesus. And you can go over to Romans chapter 6. Where he says there in verse 3, he says, "I've been baptized with Christ and raised up together." And he's speaking metaphorically. Actually, that's a simile there in Galatians chapter 6. And so we've been baptized with him. Hello? We've been baptized in Christ. And so, but he also says there, put on Christ. So we see, number one, that we're a part of the family of God when we put our faith in Christ, but we're also to be a follower of Christ. That we ought to put on Christ. In other words, a Christian, a child of God, should act like a Christian. A child of God should act like a child of God. And so he's making that point as well. So I just encourage you, and we all should put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans tells us to do the same. There is neither, verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Well, I'm thankful for this verse, and verses just like it, that God is no respecter of persons, that God loves everyone, for God so loved the world, that whether you're Jew or a Greek, whether you're Jew or Gentile, whether you're whatever ethnic group you may be a part of, God loves everyone. Amen. And that we have fellowship with Him. So we are a part of the family of God by way of faith in Jesus, that we are to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are to act like Christians. And then we have fellowship one with another because the Lord loves all of us. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, verse 29 says, and if ye be Christ, so if you be in Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed. You say, preacher, how can we be of Abraham and his seed? We, you know, that was 4,000 years ago. How are we to do that? Well, we're Abraham's seed spiritually. We're spiritual children of Abraham. Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them and you are too, right? We are, and of course we can turn to other verses that back that up, but we are this, of the spiritual seed of Abraham, and therefore, because we are of the spiritual seed of Abraham, and then therefore we are heirs according to the promise. So the promises that were given to Abraham now apply to us. Amen. The Messiah came. The promise of the Messiah, he came. He's here. And so we have those same promises, the promises that were given to the Jew and the promises that were given to Abraham, therefore apply to us. And we could turn to Romans chapter 4 and Romans chapter 8. We may turn to Romans 8 here in a little bit. But we are descendants. We are spiritual descendants of Abraham. Now, by the way, the promise of his coming. He's coming again. Right? The trumpet's going to sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain will be caught up. So the Old Testament saints are going to rise, and then we will rise as well, those who are alive. Now, verse 4 says, for I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. Okay, so if we, a child, even though a child may live in a well-to-do home, or it doesn't matter where it's a well-to-do home, lives in a home, as long as that child is a child, he has nothing better than the servants have. I mean, he's a, if he would, a hired hand, just like everybody else. He doesn't have, my kids don't have the ability to take my card and use it whatever they want to do. Hello? They're kids. They're not, I haven't given them, which I wouldn't have much to give right now if I was to give them their inheritance. But as long as the heir is still there, then they are no more than servants. This will make sense in a minute. Verse 3, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. The Jew underneath the elements of the world, underneath the elements of the law, under the law. Verse 4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive what? The adoption of sons. There is some similarities between what the Jew went through when Christ came and what the church goes through, in that the church began in its infancy when Christ began the church, and it began to, you know, grow as a child, if you would. And the Bible makes that reference in Corinthians as well. It says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, but when that which is perfect has come, it's speaking there of the Word of God being complete, and that's when the church began to grow up. That verse that everybody uses, now I see through a glass darkly, but then face to face, has nothing to do with death and going to heaven, and it's preached at, I heard it preached at a funeral just here a while back, and I was going, man, can't you read the context of that verse? The context is speaking of, again, the infancy of the church. The church didn't understand everything as it began. It didn't understand. It didn't have all the information it needed. And so God used special gifts like tongues and prophecies and so forth to help the church and to help enable the church to function and to go about. But it was still a child. And that when that which is perfect has come, when the Word of God was completed around 90 AD or whenever it was completed, then it no longer needed the special gifts, right? It didn't need the special gifts. It had everything it needed in the Bible to fully function as an adult, as you would as an adult church, if you would, okay? The analogy. Here we have a kind of analogy that's not necessarily similar, but along the same lines. As the Jew was under the law in the Old Testament, it kind of makes this reference that it was as a child. It had heir of promise. Abraham was given the promises that it was to be an heir and become a son of God. But it was still in its infancy, still as children under the law, under the world. But when the fullness of time was come, what's that? Boy, again, tonight we're not going to do it. And I don't think we're actually going to get to it this year again, but there are so many prophecies of Christ coming. And it's not just the prophecies that we think about, Micah and Isaiah, of the place he would be born, but also the time in which he would be born. But we think of Keniah's curse. And I mentioned that. You ought to go home and look that up. You can read about it. But you can also read about the 70th week of Daniel. You can read about the times of the Gentiles. Amen. The times of the Gentiles, which we will study some on Sunday night this next year, studying the book of Nehemiah, because the times of the Gentiles began with the completion of the wall of Jerusalem, the times of the Gentiles. And when that times of the Gentiles was complete and it gave the date through Daniel, as such, the 70 weeks of Daniel, it gave the date, and then you have the fullness of time. And had the remnant, and there was a great remnant when Jesus was born, there was a remnant of people who were looking for the Messiah, right? Mary and Joseph, apparently. Right? The prophetess. And there were many others who were looking for the coming of the Messiah. So it was definitely still being taught somewhere and still being believed by Jews. And so when that fullness of time had come, when the prophecies were ready to be fulfilled, when they were fulfilled, when the weeks had come to a time of done, here it was, in order for it to be fulfilled at the cross, right? I mean, the 33 and a half years. The fullness of time had come. When the fullness of time had come, when God's prophecies were ready to be fulfilled and were to be fulfilled, God sent forth a son made of a woman. I will remind you that Jesus Christ was man. He was just as much man as though he'd never been God, just as much God as though he'd never been man. He was God and man. Mary was not just a receiver, but she was a conceiver. She had substance. She had a part in providing that which a woman provides in the birth of a child. Holy Spirit provided that which as a man provides. We have the Son of God. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman. Made of a woman. When that baby was in the manger, when that baby was born there in the town of Bethlehem, God became flesh. But understand tonight that Jesus Christ did not cease being man when he rose from the dead. That tonight at the right hand of the throne of God sits a man, the God-man. A man who lived 33 and a half years, who lived a sinless life, who was tested in all points like we are, yet without sin. He experienced hunger. He experienced thirst. He experienced loneliness. He experienced those things which we experience. Of course, he did not experience sin. He could not sin. He was God. Amen. But he was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And he died for us. He was buried and he rose again from the dead. But as a man, he suffered. As a man, he suffered shame and, again, hunger and all these things. As a man, he sits at the right hand of the throne of God. As a man, he represents us there. Amen. A man. The Son of Man. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. He came as a man that he might fulfill the law, because no man before him had ever done so. Every man had failed miserably. We all are sinners. Abraham sinned, you know, Isaac sinned, Jacob sinned, Joseph sinned, and David sinned. Man, you think of the sins of David and the sins of Solomon, and on up to the fullness of time when God sent forth his son, made under the law. Why was he made under the law? Again, that child phase, if you would, under the law, that he might redeem us that were under the law. That he might redeem us. Who's he speaking to here? He's speaking to the churches there in Galatia. Speaking to Jews and Greeks. Those, again, all of us made, if you were, under the law. That we what? That we might receive adoption of sons. That we might become the sons of God. Amen. Might be adopted into the family. As children of God, God is our Father. And we're going to cover the rest of the verses here in just a moment. He is one who is the male parent, or holds parental relationship through adoption. Regeneration or salvation gives one his nature as a child of God. So when I accept Christ as my Savior, I receive a new nature, the Bible says. Old things are passed away, behold, all things have become new, right? I have a new nature, a different one too. So, salvation gives us the nature of God, but the adoption gives one his position as a child of God. Everybody understand? So, as a born-again believer, I receive the new nature by way of the Holy Spirit. As a child of God, as I accept him as my Savior, through the adoption, I am given the position as a child of God. Amen. When I am saved, I am born into this world. I am born again, but I am born again when it's concerning my nature as a child. This is going to get real, real good. Everybody with me? But through the adoption, I am a son or daughter of God. In other words, I'm an adult. You say, well, preacher, you're giving us two different things. You have to do the same thing in your own mind when you talk about salvation, saving us from our sins, right? From the penalty of sin, but also saving us from the power of sin. I mean, there's many things that are kind of divided into half between the old man and the new man. Everybody get that? I mean, the Bible does this many, many times. That positionally speaking, before God, we're made perfect in Christ, but practically, I'm still a sinner saved by grace. So, everybody kind of follow that same thought, and I wish I could do a better job of this, as we think about being a child of God and receiving that new nature through the Holy Spirit, but also understanding that through salvation, positionally, I become a child of God, adopted in the family as an adult. My point I want to make with this is by our new nature, we are born into the family of God as children. And so that's where you get many times about growing in Christ. I'm saved. When I accept Christ as my Savior, I become a baby. I think about when we had Caleb years ago, 24 years ago, and we had Joshua, and we had Micah, and you see that baby, you know, born into this world, and you say, man, what in the world have I gotten myself into? There it is. I mean, it's a tiny thing, and I didn't even know. Whatever. Still don't. I'm still not comfortable holding a little bitty one. But then you watch the stages. You watch them crawl, and then you watch them pull up on things, and then you watch them take the first step, and then, you know, constantly wanting food, and still, 24 years old, still wanting, Josh especially. Josh has gone to see his girlfriend tonight. Go to church, by the way. He can't go into church with his girlfriend. I want to clarify. No, we wouldn't let him go anywhere if he wasn't going to church. Hello, parents. He who pays the bills makes the rules, no matter how old they are. Yep. It's an easy thing. You just okay, good. I'm sorry. I got distracted. And you watch them grow up as children, and you go through the toddler phase, and you go through the, you know, it's an amazing thing, isn't it? It's amazing to watch that. I mean, as a parent, and then you see your child become an adult, and you're like, whoa, you know? By the way, it's a miracle that any of our children become adults in this day and age, right? It's only, I'm being a little serious, only by the grace of God that they become any kind of productive adult. But the world we live in, it's amazing. So you see them raised. And that is a picture of the Christian life as we are born into this world, babes in Christ, who desire the milk of the Word, who desire the bread of life, who desire, you know, the strong meat of the Word of God. And we grow through those stages. And Brother Stewart's taught us that many, many times as he's been here. And through those stages as we develop as a Christian. And you should never be satisfied as a Christian with where you're at in your Christian life. Ever. We should continually be growing as a Christian. But as a child of God, we are also adopted in the family of God. And again, this has to do with our position. Our position. Our position before God is that we are sons of God. We are daughters. And I always like to clarify when the Bible many times is speaking about man, it's speaking about mankind. There's no... Anyway. And so we're daughters of God. We are sons. We are children of God. We are by nature, but we are sons of God by position. Well, who cares? I care. I do. I care a lot about it. Because here it is. A child, as long as he's a child, he ain't getting nothing, per se. He's being raised in the house. He's, you know, he's doing chores. Right? Children should do chores. Hello, I'm just trying to be a little... Some of you young adults. Children should have chores to do. They should have a chore list. When our kids were small, they had a chore list. And most of the time, we never gave them allowances either. But sometimes we... Here and there, we did sometimes. But they should have chores. As long as they're children, you know, they don't have any right to my bank account. Hello? But when the fullness of time has come, amen, that changes. Amen. Positionally speaking, as adult children, we have every right as adults that Jesus Christ has. Amen. We are heirs of Christ, of God. In other words, we are joint heirs with Jesus, the Bible says. And this is where I really came across this Sunday again when I used that terminology that Jesus Christ is our brother. And that is because he is our brother. That is not in any way, you know, putting Jesus down. He is our brother. He's our big brother. And I become an heir with him. In the fullness of time, when the prophecies have been fulfilled, when the fullness of time has come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, that he might redeem us who were under the law. Who were children, who were still under that child system, as you would. He redeemed us from that. Why? Because he kept the law for us. For 33 and a half years, he did what no other man had ever done. And that is, he kept the law perfectly. Amen. Never one time did he have a sinful thought. Never one time did he perform a sinful deed. He was sinless in disposition, desire, and deed. And because he fulfilled the law, and because he was sinless, and when I accept him as my Savior, that sinless record is placed to my account. I become in Christ Jesus. I am placed in Christ. Read the book of Ephesians. Over and over again, Paul says, in Christ Jesus. I've been placed in Christ Jesus. I'm thankful I am a child of God. I enjoyed watching and I'm still enjoying watching my children grow. And I have no doubt that God looks down upon us. In fact, the rest of the verses kind of allude to this. That he looks down upon us and enjoys, and it brings him joy to see us grow. By the way, God gets something out of our salvation as well. We're not just the benefactor. God is also the benefactor. We were created for his good pleasure, and when we accept Christ as our Savior, that fellowship is restored, as I said Sunday, and now he gets to experience that fellowship with us again that he did not have prior to our salvation. And so no doubt God looks down and enjoys seeing us grow. But understand it's more than that. It's more than that. I can go to God not as a child. I can go to God as an adult. And when I kneel before Him, of course I should be humble. Of course I should. I'm reverently still afraid of my earthly father. And of course I should give my father respect. And boy, that's long gone today in many, many churches. Respecting God for who He is and what he is. But I can approach the throne of God. And I can cry. Look at the rest of this chapter. It says, "Wherefore thou art no more." Look at verse 6. "And because ye are sons, God hath sent the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father, Daddy. Abba, Father, Daddy. Papa." That's what that kind of has that endearing or endearment, speaking of our Heavenly Father. By the way, in the Old Testament, the word Father or the word God is, the word Father used for God is only found 10 times. And the New Testament is found 245 times. Does that tell you something changed? Right? And we call it dispensationalism, but something did change. Not the way anybody gets saved. I'm not talking about that. But the relational changed. It absolutely did. He didn't refer to him. So I'm not saying he still wasn't father of Abraham. He was. He said so. But that endearment, that Abba Father, that Papa, that loving endearment has changed. It says, "Wherefore thou art no more servants," verse 7, but a son. "And if sons, then heir of God through Christ. Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did serve unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid you." He just goes on to say, why would you go back? Why would you go back to that Old Testament Judaistic system? When you now have a family, when you now have a Savior to follow, when you now have the fellowship, we are no more separated as Jew and Gentile. And boy, he really covers that in Ephesians and other places. There's no more. We are one in Christ. Part of the family of God. Our future is bright. Heaven is assured. We're no more, if you would, children in this particular context. We are sons of God. Amen. Sons of God. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And God, the Father, is our daddy. That's kind of how he's phrasing it. He's our dad. He's our papa. Our loving father. Who cares for us, who loves us, and why would you go back? I think about, again, the loving relationship with our Heavenly Father. Yes, we are children, but we are also sons. And let's be reminded that every time we go to Him in prayer, we come to Him as an adult. My relationship with my children is changing, and I'm having to adapt, right? I know some of you are past that phase, and your kids are out of the house, and blah, blah, blah. Do they ever? Anyway. And so relationships are changing. I think me and Brother Farron would both agree. It is something to experience as a parent to go through that stage. And all of a sudden, you find your children now adults. You know, I don't know if we call Kai an adult yet, but no, I'm just kidding. Right? And we have to be careful even in this church because being a pastor and seeing all these children who are now adults, it's difficult. It's hard in our minds, right? But don't ever think God gets mixed up on it. And just as my adult children now come to me, that relationship is totally different now. I love it. It's awesome. And just as I want to still absolutely help my adult children, God is there for you. In fact, now you can come to Him as an adult. Your standing, your position as an adult. And you have every right to ask of Him what He's promised. Remember, we've talked about many times about the tool belt that God has given you. Ephesians speaks about this, about that you have everything as a Christian, as an adopted child. You have everything you need to succeed and to live out a Christian life as God intended for you to do so. And we are to go to God and ask for His help. Ask for Him to complete those promises for me. And just as parents, we ought to keep our promises, and we try to do so. God always keeps His. God never breaks a promise with us. We can come to Him as adults. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Man, there's a lot more. You speak about the heir. Jesus Christ did die. And we are heirs of the promise of God. Amen? Amen. Let's all stand. We'll have an invitation. Maybe tonight, maybe you've been dealing with some things. And maybe you think, well, is God there? Absolutely, God is there. And He's your Heavenly Father, and He loves you. You know how you love your children, your grandchildren? God loves you that way. He is your daddy. He is your Abba Father. And you can come to Him with your requests as children, but also as adults. You're an adult. Your position is an adult. Come to Him and ask. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word, and we thank You for this blessed truth, God, that You see us as adults. And Lord, I pray tonight that if there's someone here who maybe has found themselves in doubt or has found themselves in a place where they don't think You as their Father is taking care of them, or whatever the case may be, God, may You put Your loving arms around them and ensure them and encourage them as only You can. And Lord, may we see our position properly through Your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, again, we thank You for sending Your Son, born of a woman, into this world. And we'll thank You in Jesus' name.